Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, makers of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Jamie Pauls.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 169 for September 16th, 2013. I'm Jamie Pauls.
I'm Ricky Enger.
And I'm Joe Steinkamp, avoiding any more talk of Apple for the next 35 seconds, probably.
Let's see how well that works out for you.
You know, it's not the F word or the S word. It's the A word.
This is true.
Yeah. The A word.
But we do have the B word.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, I haven't called anybody a B word in a while.
Just when I thought I had stories all lined out for this podcast, lo and behold, the Bard app hits the Apple Store for approval.
Yeah, 35 or seconds. That's about right. Yeah, there you go.
Is it there yet?
I checked the App Store 5 times over the weekend. Actually, I did not.
I didn't either. But I bet a lot of people are. We're going to see a news story. You know, Cupertino reports a 678% increase in the number of hits to the App Store.
Oh, no. Our server's melted.
Exactly.
And it's not even unapologetically plastic, but it melted.
I was thinking about actually how many hits that's going to have and what that is going to register in the App Store over the weekend.
Well, there's 3 things you can count on Twitter really quickly. One, I didn't know my data cap was that small. Two, I really regret getting the 8 gig iPhone. Mm-hmm. And three, can someone tell me how to use the Bard app? That's going to be those 3 things you're going to see.
Yep.
Does anyone know a tutorial? I mean, I love Twitter. That is the best. But those 3 are going to be what you're going to see the second this thing just flies out there.
Well, I'm sure that Apple Viz will create a podcast on the Bard app. In fact, Scott Davard mentions that in his post about the fact that it's coming. It's coming. He's pretty impressed with it. They will release a podcast once the app has been approved, and you're going to be able to listen to your Bard books, assuming that you are, of course, Bard approved. You can also access the Braille section of Bard and be able to read on your phone with your Braille display without having to jump through any hoops for that. So that is very cool.
I have so many books I haven't read yet. I may actually seriously put my Audible subscription on hold for a little bit. I might do such a thing.
I don't know. It depends on the narrator. Ricky and I have been having these conversations a lot lately, and some of the Audible narrators I like better than the Bard narrators, and some of the Bard narrators I like better than the... I mean, Ender's Game is a perfect example of that. They do some specific stuff for the audiobook in Ender's Game, which some people may or may not like.
Yeah, this is something to consider.
Yeah, Audible does a lot of multi-narrator books, as was the case with Ender's Game, but this series was also narrated by Bob Askey on Bard, so you kind of win either way.
The guy who I grew up listening to read sports scores from Sports Illustrated on FlexiDisc.
Yep.
There you go. Exactly.
There's nothing like reading baseball box scores on FlexiDisc with... when your little foam pad under it needs to be replaced. Jamie, do you remember that? Where you might have a whoop kind of moment there where you might hear Jose Cruz, BTI. Oh, it's at that spot of the Flexi recording in which I need to actually get cardboard and put it under there.
Well, I can assure you I will not be far away from Audible. It wouldn't be the first time I ever put the... I think there's an Audible Lite that they offer you if you try to go away for like $9.95 a year, which gives you a discount on... You don't see it on the website, but if you actually try to leave, they say, hey, we'll give you this.
Did you know?
Keep you, yeah.
Yeah, don't leave.
Right.
We still like you a lot.
Well, that's a Netflix way of keeping you around, too. Yeah. You know, the idea of commoditizing it and making it very simple for you to pick up and put back. And a lot of times what's happening is pre-orders of books where you're getting stuff ahead of time, or someone's saying, look, it's a week before this is going to be re-released, depending on whether it's a print or audio copy. And look, I mean, you've got the Amazon app where you can pick up and leave off with a text and audio. So if you don't want to do the audio, you can do the text in the iOS Amazon app. Right. Again, there's so many choices out there. And with so many choices, you could just read that in Braille or read that on Windows with Braille. Maybe read that on Windows with Braille with a new version of something.
Yeah, you might even try it out with touch gestures, actually. And you can do that with the JAWS 15 beta, which is out. Eric Damery talks about the new features in the JAWS beta, including touch support, several things dedicated to using touch on Windows 8. Also, there have been some Braille improvements and a few new things in Firefox and Excel, a lot of the Office applications. So you can install the beta of JAWS 15. Even if you've got the other version on your system, you can have them both on the same system and use whichever one you need to. If you don't have JAWS 14 and aren't authorized for that, you can still check out the JAWS 15 beta. You'll just be using it in 40-minute demo mode. So check out the show notes for a link to Eric Damery's talk, as well as links to how to download this in English, Spanish, and German right now.
And 40 minutes might be what you need in order to get to those slammed Bard servers or waiting for iOS to update or, oh, I don't know, downloading and using those 40 minutes of JAWS time. But you can also be listening to a podcast via iBlink Radio, in fact, to take up that time. And it features, as a guest, our own Jamie and Lisa Salinger. Jamie, why don't you tell us about that?
It was a great time. We got to visit with Stuart. We got to talk about the SamNet Socializer and Stuart was very kind to visit with us, and it was a pleasure, and he does a great job with that podcast, so definitely check it out. If you're not downloading content, and if you're not listening to content, you might actually grab a bite of lunch and read a good book. As a matter of fact, I'm quite a ways into this one. Out of the Whirlpool, A Memoir of Remorse and Reconciliation by Sue Martin. Many of you know her, and she this is a great read. It's an easy read, but it is compelling. It's hard to put it down. Most of the weekend, I was doing different things. I was in a store with my wife, and I had earbuds in, just kind of walking along, hanging out of the cart, and using my Kindle app and reading her book.
There you
multitasking, go. Multitasking. Yes. No, don't ask me about whether I want apples or oranges. I'm busy.
I've seen some sample chapters from this book, which were published on Sue's blog. So I've been looking forward to reading this story for quite some time. And the timing actually was very interesting. You know, there's some pretty serious subject matter in the book. Sue talks about suicide, and this just happened to be released during Suicide Prevention Week. And so very interesting bit of timing. And so that information in her book is going to be available to lots of people.
I'm pretty sure that I saw when I bought it that it was like number 84 on the Kindle list, which that strikes me as pretty impressive.
Nicely done.
Actually.
And if she ever does an oral reading of that book, or if you hear her on podcasts, she's done one or two podcasts. I've had an opportunity to talk to Sue in person. And those stories are just as powerful hearing them from her directly as they are reading the text through alternative speech. So very much a book that we can recommend to go check out.
Kathy Ann Murtha offers some wonderful textbooks, as you all know, and she has seminars for each of these things that she releases. Generally, you can attend the seminars for $100 per seminar. But now she is offering a seminar subscription service such that you can pay your subscription fee and then be able to attend any of the seminars that Kathy Ann produces during a year and pay once and then you're all set for that year.
Perfect thing to have as you get closer and closer to Windows 8.1, JAWS 15, Windowize. Oh my gosh. Numbers, so many numbers. And let's throw in a Firefox number. 20-something, because I can never keep up with it, but 23, 24.
20-something.
Yeah, 20-something. It's that new show from ABC just 10 years earlier. It's a prequel, 20-something. There is a keyboard guide for some of the accessibility things that have been added to the new Firefox, and that keyboard guide is pretty extensive. Those of you who are already familiar with Firefox from Android are already knowing how awesome accessibility is on that platform. It continues to get even better with Firefox for Windows, and here's a keyboard guide that helps you with this. Unfortunately, nothing's going to help you with Firefox for Mac, because that can somewhat be a very daunting experience, and it's really hard to actually try and use, you know, something like Chrome, where you want to use it on every platform, works a little better if you're trying to be an iOS, Windows, and everywhere user and Mac, but with Firefox, it is a one-way street at the moment for me. I'm using it on Windows and Android for my syncing of tabs and stuff, but I can't seem to get it much past that.
Speaking of writing and reference, or reading and reference, or just maybe reference, period. How about a book by the National Braille Press called The Writer's Companion? It's kind of an interesting blog post that we actually have that leads into the information about the book. The name of the article is Homophones Are Not Mistaken in Braille, and it's really kind of a hilarious read. It's amazing how many words like bread, B-R-E-A-D, and bread, B-R-E-D, that might sound alike or whatever and be completely different. And if you're using speech, sometimes you don't have a clue, and sometimes my favorite is read and read, R-E-A-D. Yep. Your screen reader will struggle with that forever.
Yes.
Or using any modern application that is misnamed on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Flickr is F-L-I-C-K-R, apparently.
Your I associate.
Yeah.
Ricky had one that was really interesting. Yahoo is the answer. It was an exclamation point on the end. Visually, you see that, but screen reader doesn't always say that. So Yahoo, you know, and
yeah, I play in a country group, and the name of the group is Rockin' Country Variety Show. Well, I thought it was R-O-C-K-I-N, but it's Rock space capital N space country.
So
Rockin'. We have both kinds of
like
music,
rock and
country
roll,
western. Famous Blues Brothers quote.
I didn't discover this until I already handed out a bio to a place we played, and it was published on a flyer. And
you got the name wrong, man. You got the name wrong.
What you get for letting a blind guy handle the flyer, man?
That's right. Let me handle all the print.
Actually, what happened is we changed our names, and I just chose this venue to let you know.
Exactly.
He wrote our flyer in Morse code. Look at all the dots.
Just one more reason for to get that Braille display. I need to work on that.
There you go. Hey, I think that is a nice way to justify that.
You know, he got bullied by his bandmates. You see
how
that happens.
Yes, they did. They bullied me terribly.
Yes.
You know, you're being facetious there, but bullying is actually a pretty serious thing and can happen fairly frequently to students with disabilities. And, you know, they can be in their classrooms and students give them a very hard time. And sometimes the administrators say, well, you know what? We're going to remove these kids from this classroom and put them in a little bit more protected setting so that we can avoid the bullying issue. But the problem with that is when you do that, you could be impacting the level of education that that student gets. So recently, a set of guidelines has been released for administrators and teachers in terms of how can you address this bullying issue and kind of get to the root of the problem without also affecting the quality of education that your student is getting. So the Office of Special Education and Rehabilitative Services offers this. You can actually look at the PDFs in this article that we have in the show notes. You can check out what the policy letter looks like and the letter to the administrators themselves along with the guide.
I was mainstreamed, and so I experienced some bullying, although things changed when I got a 6-foot steel cane in my hands. That really tended to walk. Carry a big stick is not the word exactly, but I don't know. I am very shocked by people who have come to me later. I've gone back to the place where I went to grade school, and I've had people actually come up and apologize to me for, I didn't understand and I really acted poorly to you. when we were children. And that kind of tripped me out because I'd forgotten it. I'd not even thought about it.
That's pretty impressive, yeah, that they would do that.
It is. And I feel like not much is done to address the problem itself. It's a little bit like, well, maybe if we ignore it, it'll go away. And maybe if the students aren't, maybe if we don't have an inclusive environment where the students have to look at the differences that are just a part of being human, then maybe we won't have to deal with that. And that just doesn't work. I'm hoping that all kids can learn as they're in school that being inclusive makes sense and you don't have to pick on somebody just because they're different than you are.
You know, when I went to the school for the blind and I got to go home at night and a lot of the students didn't, and I experienced some bullying even in that environment. So I think it's extremely common, unfortunately.
Well, as upsetting as bullying can be, and of course I live in Texas, so, you know, we're the home of the concealed weapon law in the drive-in liquor store. I've never felt like I needed to carry a firearm, but our friend Michael Barber and others in Iowa do. Buddy touched on this in the last episode, and since the time we recorded, it has been a hot topic of controversy. Michael appearing on CNN and other places. I had my brother call me on a Saturday saying, was I aware of this Piers Morgan thing going on CNN, and did I know anything about it? And I was like, yeah, I kind of know the guy. I've kind of sort of already said my quote-unquote piece on this particular issue. Ricky, you haven't had a chance to chime in. How do you feel about this issue and some of the controversy / long-term comments that are coming out of here? There's a lot of, I feel X and I feel Y, some absolutes happening.
Yeah, people are very polarized on this issue, as I think they are with gun control in general. And the NFB has taken the position that if you're going to carry a weapon, then you need to have the ability to use that weapon responsibly, and you need to be able to make appropriate decisions about that weapon. And blindness itself doesn't preclude a person from making good or bad decisions. And so on that basis, they say, yes, we support this. At least people shouldn't be prevented from carrying a gun solely on the basis of blindness. And I agree with that for the most part. I think my problem is that, as with guns for anyone, there isn't a way to legislate responsibility necessarily. It's the same way when somebody is going to drive drunk and they are very convinced that they can do this just fine and that they have no issues with, you know, I do this all the time and I've never had a problem yet, so therefore I should be perfectly safe to do this. I'm just concerned that people, anyone, not just blind people, will choose a time to use a firearm and not be completely cognizant of all the safety issues surrounding that. You know, well, I didn't know there was somebody across the street and that the bullet would go in that trajectory or what have you. It's a difficult thing to deal with, but I have a problem with absolutes, kind of. You know, it's always okay to carry a gun, or it's never okay to do that.
Yeah, I dread this story when it, or if it happens where a blind person does accidentally shoot an innocent person. Talk about the backlash from that. That's going to be.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it plays directly into what we've talked about with the automated vehicle. If you think this is an issue, wait until you're talking about 4,700-pound weapon as well. It's going to be very, very difficult for people to wrap their heads around the idea that we can do some things unlike other people. I mean, it is a visually based world, and some people just cannot imagine themselves in our position. So therefore, they make irrational statements or statements not based on fact but on emotion, and that's where some of this comes. But at the same time, I had a friend who didn't understand that when he was sitting behind a half wall, one of those little brick walls that came up to your waist, and he was petting a kitty, and he asked his sighted wife, what kitty was he petting? And she said, I can't tell what kitty you're petting because you're behind a wall. And he didn't realize that she couldn't see around the little half wall to see where he was and that he was petting a cat. So there are some people who don't have good mobility skills or an idea of object orientation that possibly may need some assistance in trying to make that decision. But I'm like I said last week, if you're going to take the responsibility of picking up that thing, then you get all the fun stuff that comes with it if you make the wrong decision and use it in a wrong fashion, just like a sighted person.
Yep.
Well, coming up after the break, C is for cookie, but Jamie says it's more for Cortana, Ricky says it's for clapping, and I'm going to say it's more about confusion. All that and more on Serotalk 169.
Looking for a cross-platform solution to quickly convert printed materials and PDFs into text, MP3, or DAISY formats? Check out Serotext DocuScan Plus. For just $299, use DocuScan Plus on your Windows or Mac computer. Store documents in the cloud for easy retrieval and access them from anywhere. For more information, visit www.docuscanplus.com.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk 169, and now we're going to talk about the A word. Oh, no, the C word. No, I'm just digging this hole deeper. I'm going to go ahead and stop. You know what? Apple last week released a whole bunch of stuff. One of those being the iPhone 5Z, the other thing being the iPhone 5S, this thing called iTunes Radio that no one's talking about. Good luck finding news about that. And some other things like cases for the 5C, and looks like there's this minor little thing that will probably show up eventually called iOS 7. So let's figure out how we want to tackle this. What do you guys want to talk about first? C, S, 7,
yes.
iTunes Radio?
We'll be the only ones doing that. Actually, I saw a couple of people on Twitter this morning talking about iTunes Radio and how they like it. I think that's going to be one of those things. Maybe it's like a...
Better than Ping. iTunes Radio is for you.
I was thinking about Ping because they tried to make such a huge deal about Ping and it kind of wasn't. So maybe they took the opposite tack with iTunes Radio where we're just going to kind of mention it and then leave it up to them to discover and talk about how awesome it is.
It's a discovery thing. We want them to discover whether they like it or not or if it even
exists.
And
if it ends up sucking, well, we didn't really do a whole lot to promote it anyway. So, yeah.
Have you ever gone to the Genius area on your iDevice? And I rarely find anything that it recommends Genius. So that's a feature that I've just stopped using. So yeah, I agree. I understand where you're coming from. But again, let's toss it up in the air. What do you guys want to talk about? C, S, 7?
C is first in the alphabet. So
okay,
let's do
that. Okay, so C is for cookie, confusion, clapping. The iPhone 5C.
China, yeah.
China.
It's not for cheap. Yeah, and it is for China. Yeah. That's for doggone sure. The iPhone 5C is coming in at not a cheaper price as Wall Street and all the pundits said it was going to, and Apple never agreed that it was going to, so Apple got the last laugh there. But it is $100 cheaper than the actual iPhone. If you look at the 16 gigs, you're looking at a $549 unlocked and a $5 and up kind of situation if you're going for a larger gig size. First off, 4S isn't going away, but the 5 is, by the way. So if you have an iPhone 5, you too get the collector's item. Oh, C is for collector, with the iPad 3.
So why do you think, Joe, that they did not do away with the 4S? That's interesting to me.
I think they still need something for that I don't want to pay anything market. And give me a phone for $0, and the 4S still kind of fits that. The 4 is still supported, which is kind of crazy because... In the great big iOS scheme of things, when you look at fragmentation, yes, it does exist in the iOS world, and Buddy and I have already argued that last week, but there are a lot of asterisks on iOS 7 because iOS, you know, the 4 doesn't support Siri and a lot of these other features. So if you're on a 4, either one of these phones coming up that we're going to talk about is a great upgrade. If you're on the 4S, if you're on a 5, I don't think so at all, but that's just personal opinion. But the 5C... you know, has colors. So there's blue, green, yellow, white, and of course, space gray, which space gray. I think that's great. But in plastic, it really is black, but the
space
anodized
gray
aluminum
is the new black.
Yeah, there you go. The anodized aluminum doesn't allow them to do black. Black is like a hard color to be able to do. So in the plastic, you really get a black looking iPhone. And to go along with that, they came out with a whole bunch of cases, which visually have been called the Kinect 4 cases because it's like the old game Kinect 4 with the grid. So that way people can see that you have the new iPhone because what is very hard for people to understand is Apple doesn't like you to go out and buy the really cool OtterBox case because that way no one ever knows that you have the new iPhone. I have the new iPhone. How could you tell? It's wrapped up in plastic. Well, now the iPhone 5C is unapologetically plastic. I love that line. That is just the greatest line. Anyway, Johnny Ive says unapologetically plastic, and everybody went crazy for it. But it's the
I'm waiting for a remix on that where they just have him saying that. And
it should be somebody's. That sounds like a Radiohead album, unapologetically plastic. It is based on a metal framework. It has the insides of the iPhone 5. So it isn't like it's a bad phone. But compared to what we're going to talk about with the 5S, I don't know. What do you guys think of the 5C?
The 5C, I'm not personally interested in. I mean, it's probably a good thing for someone who maybe is looking for a budget phone, if that's can be considered that, I guess. But if I do anything, it's going to be the 5S, and that's not 100%. Ironically, the one thing that would make me do it is probably LTE, because I can't take advantage of that with my 4S, so... I would
very good point.
That's so as a 4S user, the 5S is something I would consider, but it's not something I'm absolutely can't wait until the day it ships.
We will be starting a new segment called What Would Jamie Do as we get closer and closer to right. Jamie's 2 years on his contract. Ricky, right. 5C.
I feel like a lot of people are going to buy this phone because it's $99 and that's $100 cheaper than the other one. But the problem is I think they're going to do this without fully understanding what the differences are between the two, and then be a little bit disappointed when that phone starts to obsolesce in the box, as William Gibson says, and then everybody is way far ahead of them, and they're thinking, why didn't I get this
could have had a V8, kind of
future-proof phone by paying $99? So I think people are going to make the decision to get it, but I don't think they're going to fully understand the ramifications of that for a little while.
I think that's hard to tell because this really does feel like the iPhone 5.1 or 5.5, depending how you want to argue the iteration. Because when standing in front of the iPhone 5S, which has an X64, well, excuse me, wait, I slipped there, has a 64-bit based processor, A7. I was mashing up things. Intel wish it had an X64 processor. Anyway, so it's an A7 64-bit processor. It has the ability to have a Motion X coprocessor kind of like thing in there. Which will detect how the phone is being used in motion in certain ways that's still to be determined, like gaming or waving your phone around or actually the phone actually
fitness
detecting.
Fitness apps, maybe.
That or you're dropping it, like an accelerometer kind of thing that Apple had done before everybody else. So there's a coprocessor in there. There is the aluminum or anodized aluminum, as we've talked about, if you've already got a 5. You also have this thing called Touch ID, which is a fingerprint scanner with a capacitive screen that allows you to place your finger there and unlock your phone and buy iTunes with just the touch of a finger. Now, we're talking about this pre-release, so at the time of this recording, none of us have it. None of us have done anything but read what other people have talked about this particular unit. So definitely stay tuned to Apple Viz. Stay tuned to Dr. Robert Carter. Stay tuned to any number of places like iMore, who are going to do all the things to this phone to be able to tell you about whether this is a good feature or not to have. But based on just the camera upgrades, because there's kind of a dual flash now where it's looking to see what the lighting is in the room. It's looking to see what coloring is in the room so it can actually adjust itself, because Apple makes their own focused chip for cameras. If you're into Prismo or something like that, hypothetically, this really should be the thing you want to look at for the future of what you want to do with these apps as developers get some limited access, because that's the other side of this is developers don't always get access to some of the things in Apple releases. So developers initially will not have access to the fingerprint type materials or some of the camera API. Or possibly even some of the aspects to the Motion GPS. I'm thinking of an app. sorry. Look, see how we can do this so easily. Too much tech. The Motion coprocessor. What we'll probably get access to very quickly is just to be able to change some code and be able to jump up into the 64-bit architecture, which would probably be good for multitasking or more things in the app switcher. That's certainly a good thing and a possibility of good things if you look at what happened in the Mac OS platform when the Flip 264 was made. It was very, very rough for developers and took a long time for macOS to work out its 64-bit infrastructure. So Apple really, really, really has remembered all that and changed it a little bit for this update. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. With the 5S, how do you guys feel? Ricky, why don't you go first this time on 5S?
Well, I think this was an interesting move for Apple, and Samsung thinks so too, because they're going to do it now as well. The 64-bit thing kind of caught my attention, not so much for what it can do immediately, but how this might play into things longer term. I feel I had to laugh a little bit when Apple said, it took the PC era this long to do 64-bit, and we're making the jump forward in a single day.
We needed a differentiator, and nobody felt like, hey, you know what? We're making buttloads of cash. Why make a new chip that's going to cost a whole bunch of money? We'll let Apple go first. And that's the way I took that. But we don't need 64. It wasn't a deal for us. There was nothing holding us back application-wise. So, yeah, you be first mover. Go right ahead. It cost you more money to fab than us. Go for it.
Yeah, and that is kind of what I feel like has happened, because it's not like 64-bit. You know, you have the 32-bit limitation on you can only access up to 4 gigs of RAM with 32-bit, and 64-bit will change that considerably. Well, that's not a deal in the mobile space yet. Probably will be at some point, but it isn't right now. So they
reminds
didn't
me of the
have
video game
to-
wars of Sega versus Nintendo. And Sega said, you know, we have double the bits. So it's Sega Genesis has blast processing.
Yes. Blast processing.
Blast processing.
That's great.
Go look that up on YouTube, kids. Sega Genesis blast processing. That's what it felt like to me, was blast processing.
But it's good that they did it, because even though you'll probably see some improvements with games and the like right out of the gate, like they were demoing, you know, look at this game with a 64-bit processor and
Infinity
so on.
Blade. Yep.
Yes, that's what it was. And I guess this is the last iteration of that.
Sure. Why? Yeah, I heard that in video games too. The last Metal Gear Solid as Metal Gear Solid 5 is coming. Yeah, a lot of this is going to be games related. Certainly one of the people that I follow online in the gaming space was like, I can't wait for this because in iOS 7, here comes hardware controllers. And at that point, you know, the whole idea for the last 6 years of touch-based gaming has been you don't need a controller. But here's one of the largest game makers in the world saying, I'm ready for iOS 7 to support game-based controllers. And all that says to me is now I can port all those games over without having to rewrite it for touch, because that's been so problematic for us, because touch-based screening and controls don't always work in gaming. So for traditional gamers, here's what you get, finally, that controller you've always wanted. But that's a niche kind of thing. Jamie, 5S, man, you were just saying a second ago that you weren't sure. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that might want to make you jump to the 5S?
I'm interested in the fingerprint sensor, not as much to secure the phone when I log on, as the idea that they're actually going to allow you to use it on the App Store instead of entering a password.
One tap paying. Amazon must be proud.
Yes.
We should have patented that.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting to me, honestly. And of course, anything that's a little faster has got to be a good thing, especially when you turn VoiceOver on, which is immediately going to slow any device down that you use. So not that I'm complaining about the speed of the 4S at this point in my life, but, it will be interesting to see in conjunction with iOS 7 how that works on the 4S and then how that might work on the 5S. So, yeah, there are some things to consider, but definitely the Touch ID implementation is interesting to me.
What about the security implications with that? Do you have any concerns there? Or, you know, Apple said, oh, it's all okay. You know, what do we expect with that?
I think when it gets in the hands of the hackers, and actually that's a very good thing, because this will be, some people are really on the fence on whether this was a real smart idea by Apple or it was a way to, because law enforcement gets mad at Apple because there is like the guy in the swap meet in California selling 300 used iPhones, gently used iPhones. and that maybe some form of security will help keep that from happening as much. There are other people who are in the security industry who say that this is just a consumer-grade product, and any consumer-grade product can be gotten to. Apple has been very forthright in talking about this on websites and videos and other places to explain how the device is not sending your fingerprint places. It's not sitting on somebody's server, quote unquote. It is, you know, unique and within the device. And at that point, if they have your device, then eventually anything's possible. That's what hacking has taught us is, you know, if I have a bunch of liquid nitrogen and I have your computer and I actually get your computer and immediately shove it into liquid nitrogen, within 30 seconds, as long as it hasn't exited RAM, I can actually get your all your passwords and own you. Okay, first you got to get into my house, you got to get the device, and you got to have liquid nitrogen. You know, there's always going to be a way. There's no such thing as 100% secure.
No, and Apple has said if this device hasn't been unlocked in 48 hours, then we also do require you to set up a passcode for this, and it would be required after a certain period. That way, you know, the hackers haven't spent this time figuring out, how do we do this without a finger? Let's see, do we go back and get the finger and then unlock it? Or how do we do this?
So they touch this wine glass. Let's go lift the print off the wine glass and then, you know, all the spy stuff that you're seeing about. What they have said is, and GigaOhm said this the morning of the recording, is no, they can't chop off your finger and then use it. So that was a big thing when this was first released, was I'm going to lose my iPhone and a finger, you know, and
yeah.
So
just hope the bad guys hear that they can't do that.
Use your pinky finger to unlock. Don't use your braille reading fingers, kids. That's
right.
I could just, there's a PSA out there. I'm just thinking that there's an actual PSA we could record about iPhones and fingers, and it's too bad we're not closer to April Fools. We may actually have done something like that. I'm with Jamie. It's about convenience, really. What Jamie brings up is it's more about convenience and security. And if you really want to feel secure, then you want to have both. Two-factor authentication is always going to be better than one. You're never going to rely on just one. So passcode and your fingerprint.
Exactly. And I don't think this is an enterprise level thing, even though it may have been touted as such, but there are some things that the enterprise space is getting with iOS 7, including per app VPNs. So, now you can actually do what you need to do on your phone in the corporate world, but the corporate world doesn't then have to see your personal web browsing, so they can't see that you're going to look up My Little Pony videos, you know, when you get home and so on. There are actually 10 of these things, you know, also including the ability to do custom configurability, even including accessibility. So you could essentially image a group of iDevices with a particular setup in your corporation.
So one of the things you won't see in iOS 7 is, you won't see multiple account support, because, again, that's another one of those things where Apple wants you to buy another device. Johnny needs a device. You need a device. Jamie, Ricky need devices. You're not going to buy one device and share it amongst everybody, even with all these cool new edges. You know, that's the corporate thing, is to be able to have multiple logins, and that's where Android and Windows still have a little bit of an R jump on iOS, because it's the difference between a hardware company and a software company.
Apparently something else we won't have in iOS 7 is the keychain, the ability to have those passwords, stored for your Mac and your iOS device. That's kind of a disappointment to me. I was actually kind of looking forward to that one, playing with that.
It will probably come back. I think they're just not doing this quite yet because they want to wait until the release of Mavericks, and that way everything is kind of one, you know, together in one big happy place. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's an iCloud update, you think?
Yeah, that would be my hope anyway.
You know, I said iPhone 5.1 or 5.5. It really does feel like there's another shoe to drop. Like, this is just stuff that's going to come in the 6. And offline, I told Jamie that if he could hold out to the 6, I think it would really work out for him, because there's nothing compelling here, hardware-wise, that you would feel like, oh, man, I'm missing out on, really? Because the 4S is a pretty good phone, and that's why these phones hold their resale value on Gazelle and Walmart, of all these places. The phone is a good phone, and if you stay on a 4S, then Apple knows that it takes a lot to get you off of it in a two-year cycle. What they don't want is for you to go past 2 years, and unfortunately, that is happening. People don't see the differentiators between a 4, 4S, 5. You know, Siri is one of them, but now 2 years later, people make fun of Siri all the time. And it is kind of colored some people's ideals on whether the fingerprint scanner was not another Siri. Like, oh yeah, it sounded really great at the time, but Siri misunderstands everything I say and I don't use it anymore. And a lot of sighted people kind of sort of kick Siri off to the curb. And that now becomes a problem more than anything else. So Apple has to deprecate it slowly but surely. Like the iCards app, which there 2 years ago was the thing you were going to do. You're going to American greeting cards right from your phone and And now that kind of gets rolled into iPhoto and kind of moved away like Ping. Apple does make mistakes. But in this situation, it doesn't feel like it's a mistake. It just feels like what they want to do next isn't done yet. Like there are still things baking. iOS 7 doesn't feel that way.
Siri is actually out of beta now. You were talking about Siri, and they're
shorter
taking
than Google
the beta
and
tag
Gmail.
Off of that.
Took less than Gmail. I don't know. I just think that the other shoe is still coming. I think there's still something to come. I don't feel like you're in Google land. You do pay for beta tests. Samsung does that. We've talked about that with the Google Gear last week, where I felt like it was a 1.0 and you're paying for, you know, metrics for Samsung to decide whether it works or not. But Apple, this does feel like it's not half-baked, but it's like they have something else coming. They're just not ready to talk about it yet. Maybe we'll learn more with the MacBook Pros. Maybe we'll learn more in the Mavericks update, like you were saying. Maybe we'll learn more with iPad release. Maybe there's an iPad announcement. Or maybe we just find out at the 6. But it does feel like Apple's getting ready to do something. They're just not ready to do it yet.
Well, at least they did make some improvements on the 802.11ac file transfers in the OS X operating system. 10.8.5 apparently
rolls
more than doubles those speeds. It was not doing so well in compared to the Windows OS, and it was like, hey, what's wrong with this thing?
Can you hold your MacBook wrong? Is it possible to be holding it wrong with your MacBook?
It to be really fair, should be balanced on your head, clearly.
That's correct. To get the optimum, you know, have the Pringles can, then be touching a wire hanger while you're holding on to. Yeah, no, I agree. But this is normal for Apple. Apple usually releases something on a hardware span, and then everybody goes, oh, the Wi-Fi sucks, and it happened in iOS 6. And it's always a software update that fixes the stack, and then everybody's happy again.
So it turns out, I know this is going to be a shock to people, that there's more to talk about than Apple stuff.
Really?
Oh, yes.
What is that? That's a thousands of people reaching for their stop switches. Is that what it...
No, wait, no, keep,
don't
keep listening.
Do it. Keep listening.
There's still mailbag. Wait for mailbag. Yeah. It's awesome. Trust us.
So, yeah, there are other companies besides Apple, and Microsoft is one of them. They are looking to do something pretty interesting. They have a thing called Cortana, and when I first saw this, I was like, that sounds like the name of a video game character, and then I was all proud of myself when I found out. In fact, yeah, it is that. This is named after a Halo character, but the idea behind Cortana is that you're going to see kind of some tie-ins across all of these Microsoft products. Like you've got the Xbox and you've got Windows Phone and Windows on the desktop, of course. And Microsoft wants you to be able to do some Siri-like things that Siri can't quite do necessarily yet. So you should be able to say, let's go print out my boarding pass for my trip to Texas or whatever. And whatever you're talking to that's a Microsoft product goes, oh, okay. You know, it figures out what you're talking about and uses the information that you have on that device related to your flight to Texas or wherever you're headed and can take you through the check-in process. So we're not there yet, but Cortana could be kicking Siri's butt at some point. We'll see.
I love this.
Well, Facebook continues to make its customers happy.
You said the F word.
So often does. Yeah, sorry, I did. Another thing for Patrick to censor from now on.
No, I don't think so.
Redacted.
And send hate mail to resources at serotech.com, because we get that a lot with people who don't get the S word joke. Sorry.
Right. Go ahead.
Anyway, you were saying about the F word.
Well, Facebook apparently deleted the page of a developer of a, is this an app or a plugin, Fixer?
Yeah, I think it's like a Facebook extension of some sort, Social Fixer.
Where it could go in and tell you about privacy and let you know, hey, you probably shouldn't have all those going out to your friends or your boss or something. You should probably go in and change some of these privacy settings.
Yeah.
And Facebook took a little bit of an issue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like we're going in front of the FTC about privacy anyway. Thanks.
Right.
So.
Well, it's not like they even told the guy why they took it down, right, Jamie?
That, and wouldn't even respond to him when asked, okay, what did I do wrong and how can I fix it? Just nothing. No.
You exist. No, that is a problem for us. Yeah. So now you no longer exist. Problem
no
solved.
Longer. Yeah. And that's just harsh. I mean, this guy had built up this whole brand over like 4 years and had all these fans on his page and groups and blah, blah, blah. So he had built this little ecosystem. And I kind of was surprised when I was reading the article, because the guy was like, I don't really hate Facebook. I don't bear them any ill will, but I'm just a little confused. I would be like, oh, yes, I bear you ill will for that.
Yeah.
I will never wear a hoodie again. Screw you, Mark Zuckerberg.
Let me show you the power of social media, Facebook.
That's right.
I'll have to use something other than Facebook to do so. But
Yeah.
But that's the problem with being... you know, it's like a system of technology, but I've described it as a barnacle hanging on the side of a beautiful ship. If you rely on iOS, if you rely on Facebook, you rely on these big multi-platform things for your livelihood, and then said livelihood gets totally eroded by something the big platform does, you know, you're kind of stuck. And that's why you see so many people trying to get on Android and iOS. That's why you're trying to see people actually have an existence not on just one platform. They may start on iOS, but because Android is in 80% of the world markets, they won't ignore Android either, or they won't for long, because if they want to be a global presence, then they have to go to this. And Facebook is one of those, you know, things that a lot of people use. 1 billion people, about 300 million of those are probably zombies. But the point being that if you're going to go play in somebody else's sandbox, they may just decide to kick you out of the sandbox. And there's little you can do, which is scary, but also bad planning.
But at least while you're using Facebook, Joe, you might be able to watch an advertisement for, I don't know, Kit Kats maybe or something.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Android Kit Kat stuff on my Facebook home Android while I'm scrolling down the newsfeed and having it autoplay. Yeah, that'd be great. I can't wait for that. Although
the zombies
are
really going to like that stuff.
brains. Yes, agreed. They are saying that they're not going to autoplay audio. This was the part of the story that I paid attention to. Yeah, they've come right out and started to kind of back off that. You would have to put your finger on it, just like you do with some ads on websites where you have to roll your mouse over it for the audio to begin. So there's no real concept of when this is going to roll out, although there's rumors of October, November. They've learned a lot from the Instagram video rollout, where a lot of guys who were used to, you know, a service about pictures – and now get video kind of didn't like it because they were all about pictures instead of video. That autoplay for audio isn't going to be something that they would do automatically. Same with Vine, actually. Vine doesn't put you into audio mode. And that's kind of nice that people find that distracting, because we get the benefit of that. But it does seem like this is going to come. But it does seem at this point that it's going to be not necessarily audio right in your ears the minute that you load up your Facebook profile.
Well, coming up after the break, a very special mailbag. We're going to applaud Ricky as she takes a wild ride, and we're going to find out why Joe's knee hurts right here on the Serotalk podcast.
Make sure your child is up with the alarm and ready for school each morning, because missing just 18 days, even in middle school, will put their graduation at risk. It's up to you. Learn more at boostup.org. brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk Podcast 169, and let's open up the mailbag.
The mailbag.
I report.
The mailbag.
Email.
The mailbag.
Everything else.
The mailbag.
Wow. And that's all I can say.
Where did that come from? Whoa.
How cool is this?
Yay.
You know, Welcome back, Ricky. Actually, here's your mailbag.
Yeah.
I know. Well, you know what's funny? Being the most frequent handler of the mailbag, I've kind of developed a bond with it. And it's not just an inanimate object. It's actually an entity. And, you know, it's all full of warmth and life and happy audio files, except that one time when nobody sent anything and it was just inert and lifeless.
It was cocooned, but, yeah. Dormant. It was waiting to reemerge like a Pokemon.
But now it's happy again. Look, yes. The mailbag is wagging its tail. It has a theme now.
Super duper thank you to our audience. That you guys are just amazing. You stun us all the time, whether you're the thousands of people that are following us on Triple Click Home or the thousands of people that download that Android show, or you're the people that send in something as creative as that. That is super cool. Bob, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you to Bob in Canada. You are awesome. We love you, and we love your mailbag theme, and you have made the mailbag just ecstatic.
And we will always take your submissions. So if you have something creative that you'd like to submit to the podcast, you can send us a link, or you can throw up a link on YouTube, or you can send us a file, you know. But if you want to send us a Dropbox link, that's a little easier on email links kind of thing. But we're way interested in featuring your content. This show is always about our community, and we love to feature amazing talents of those of our community like Bob. Bob, thanks.
And the mailbag is far from empty this week. Let's start out with an iReport from Rob Dittman.
Hi, everybody. It's Rob Dittman again, and I am absolutely not trying to take over the podcast. I appreciate it when you guys use my comments, and I do very much appreciate that, as do all of us. Not that I have the right to speak for everyone, but okay. The reason for my call today is I want to talk about the virtues of Braille. I hated Braille as a kid. And I actually was on a professional lawyer's list, and there were a couple of people, more than two actually, that said that Braille is not necessary, that people can function completely with speech. And I kind of want to get the pulse of the community. How many people actually believe this? Because I believed it at one time myself until I went to law school and realized that, you know, chocolate is not spelled C-H-O-C-K-L-I-T. It is spelled C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T-E. So to prove a point, I wrote out a passage that says, I woke up this M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G and felt M-A-R-Y and went to the store to buy a P-E-A-C-E of B-R-E-D. And wrote this whole paragraph, and then Buddy jumped in, and oh man, we wrote a whole thing on messed up homophones. But I do, again, want to know, those people who are using speech predominantly, is it because you just don't want to learn Braille? Or is it because you haven't had the opportunity to learn Braille? Or because the equipment is so expensive? Because it's ability, clarity, or willingness. Are you unable to do it? Okay, fine. Is it unclear that it's important? Well, then we can fix that. Or are you just unwilling to do it? So once we solve that problem, then we can get to figuring out, well, if we need to address a problem. And literacy is a problem. So thanks, guys. Have a great day, and I'll talk to y'all soon. Whilst I read Braille.
You know, what's interesting about this is that this came, and it came at a time after we had already chosen to talk about the Braille and homophones article that we mentioned earlier in this podcast. So I believe that Mr. Dittman is a little bit, he had a precognition.
Do you have a Ouija board there, Mr. Dittman? Is that what you're doing?
Actually, you know, this would make a really good, this is a very good skill for a lawyer to have.
anticipate
psychic attorney. Yeah. Yes.
To anticipate the ambulance before you begin to chase.
Ouch.
Never lose a case.
Where
that
the lawyer
way.
Knows the verdict before the trial.
Minority
Rob
Report
Dittman
two.
Is the psychic attorney. Rated R.
Oh, man.
For mild violence on Joe Steinkamp is what it's going to be.
Get that rumor started. That'll be good.
We're starting a new segment here on the show. It's called Rob's Response, where we hear from Rob Dittman every week.
I like it.
And that's not serious, Rob. Don't. No.
No, wait, no, don't. Don't.
Yeah,
don't.
Yeah,
we really, no, we're not trying to instigate anything. No, it's a joke. We make jokes on this show.
We also talk about really cool technology on this show, including HIMS products. And we have an iReport from Jesse to talk about that as well.
Hey, StereoTalk Podcast Network. This is Jesse from California calling. And I want to thank you for introducing me to the HIMS product line over your convention coverage specials. I recently was in the market for a Braille device and purchased a HIMS Braille Edge 40, and it is one of the most useful products that I've ever had as a blind person. I can compare it only to the Braille Light, which was a very great workhorse for me, one of the old Blazy products. The Braille Edge 40 is a lot like carrying around a notebook. You can just jot down a note on the fly, and then it connects seamlessly, or at least it connects seamlessly to my iPhone, which I really appreciate. So thanks for pulling me into HIMS and how great they are, because I, previous to hearing the convention specials, I had not really experienced any HIMS products. Very high quality, and I'm very pleased. So thanks very much.
So there you go. Yeah, Braille Edge is a really awesome piece of business. If you haven't heard the HIMS specials demonstrating their technology, those are still available. Including Jenny Axler and Dave and Scott and all those guys talking about what they do at HIMS and how cool it is for you.
And looking forward to hanging out with Jenny in Dallas on the 26th, as I mentioned before, at the AFB Center, and seeing my good friend Neva Fairchild and everybody up there, and the Dallas Radio Reading Service, as we mentioned as well. And we'll probably be doing more of those at some point or another with our various partners. Remember that Serotech supports all sorts of companies. Humanware, as you hear Humanware on that Android show, and Greg talking about Braille displays. And we also support Apple with iStuff and iBlink Radio. And you can hear some amazing stuff on TripleClick. Jamie, why don't you break down what's going to happen on the 18th?
Wow. On the 18th, we are going to talk about iOS 7. Actually, you'll be able to listen to the podcast as you're downloading your very own copy of iOS 7. How did we do that, you ask? Well, it's the magic of audio editing and all of the wonderful things that our audio engineers help us do.
And the time machine.
And the time machine, absolutely.
Buddy's
Hot
TARDIS.
Off the press.
Yep, we used Buddy's TARDIS.
Yep.
And so, a special guest?
We do, actually. We have an interview with none other than Mr. Mosen himself, Mr. Jonathan Mosen, about his new book, and actually several other things that really kind of are quite fascinating to hear Jonathan's take on, including Android.
Android,
so,
yeah,
we actually talk about Android on that app, on that on Triple Click Home. So,
that Triple Click Home show.
Exactly.
That'll be the big one when we do the debate, you know, one day between the two teams, and that Triple Click Home show. That would
be
very
fun,
interesting.
Actually, JJ and Alina.
Oh, good times.
Oil and water together again. How they don't mix. Oh, my goodness. That would be...
I see Buddy and Steve.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm gonna order tickets for that ahead of time.
There's an ocean between them, but it's still not enough.
I think Joe and I are both gonna have to referee that one. It's gonna have to tag team that.
Right.
We're gonna have to both stay fairly neutral.
I said back in the corner, somebody get the water hose. They are not backing off.
Where's that cattle prod? Taser.
And last up in the mailbag, we have an email from Luis, and you'll want to go check this one out in the show notes, because you might just find the treasure if you can solve this riddle. He talks about, after I've finished listening to the roundabout, where you were talking about the Simpsons creator having cancer and kind of being creative about how he distributed his wealth. He saw a story on CBS about a cancer survivor who got really creative about distributing his wealth as well. And what he did was put together a riddle that hasn't been solved yet to our knowledge. And if you can figure this out and get all the way through it, then you are going to find a box of gold and jewels and all sorts of cool stuff. By the way, though, people have needed to be rescued when trying to follow the clues. So, you know, this might not be for the faint of heart.
The cool riddle, like, though. I like it.
It is a cool riddle. I wouldn't even like have the slightest idea of where to start. Although there was a, you'll be up the creek without a paddle or some such. So I was thinking you're going to be in the sewer.
Okay. Or watching that terrible movie with Seth Green in it. Ready Player One and Stargate Universe, because Stargate Universe, there's a riddle on the internet and the guy solves it, and it's a part of a thing with the ancients that they haven't been able to translate, and he translates it and he gets sucked in and a part of the actual excursion to the alien ship. So you might get more than you bargained for. It might not just be gold and jewels. It might be recruiting.
That's a possibility, yeah. Here are your gold and jewels, and where you're going, you're not going to need them.
Yeah, now up this ramp through that round obelisk that looks like water. Now go, no, it'll be fine, perfectly fine. We're sending these military people with you. Yeah, most people never come back from that, but the nerd usually lives, so go for it. You're good. You're okay.
Go check out the show notes at saratalk.com and read the email from Luis. Definitely check that out. Also put one in from Mike Arrigo as well. You can read that one while you're at it. Resources at saratalk.com is the address to send us email. Go to our show notes page and write a review, or actually leave a comment while you're there. If you subscribe on iTunes, that's where you can write a review of the podcast and rate us very highly, please. Finally, leave an iReport, iBlink Radio, using your iOS or your Android device. It's time now for Roundabout. Well, why not? Let's take a wild ride, shall we? How about let's kayak solo the length of the Grand Canyon?
Sounds like something. You can do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch from here.
I'm not really much of a swimmer, so Lonnie Bedwell, a Navy veteran, apparently is and did it. He did this thing with the help of a team of individuals, a 16-day accomplishment. So...
Wow. And they were guiding him by voice, even on some of these areas where there are like rapid twists and turns and stuff. And you better hope you don't have any kind of delay like you kind of do on VOIP sometimes.
Yeah. I was thinking, no, my left.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
Make sure your team is not directionally challenged before you undertake this.
That is crazy. Well, you know what? It'll take less time to swim from Cuba to Florida if that's what you want to do. It's somewhat of a straight shot. But how cool is that, though? Imagine the sounds and all of that. That would be, if you're into kayaking or rafting, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing job. Bravo.
Yay.
Why do we do that? Why do we clap when...
Why do we golf clap? Sorry. Tell us why, Ricky.
Well, I may not do such a great job of explaining it, but we have a YouTube video that will, and this is pretty cool. It talks about how clapping is theorized to be, you know, you have, as humans, we can vocalize emotion. If we're happy, we can laugh or make whatever strange noises we do when we're amused, snorting and such. And we can cry and all of these things that really pretty eloquently express emotion. But clapping is one of those things that is theorized to be, this happens at a lower level than language or vocalization does. And so it's just this way to express kind of this outpouring of emotion, express all that energy without having to process any sort of language or any of that. But the video goes on to explore some pretty interesting things sociologically, in that clapping may have started out to be kind of an outpouring of emotion, but now it is a way to be a part of the crowd. You know, somebody is clapping, you can add your voice to theirs by clapping as well, but it's in an anonymous way. Nobody can tell by your clap if you are female or male or what size you are or how exactly you feel when you're doing it, because sometimes you're clapping because you really did enjoy something, and sometimes it's everybody else is doing it. Yay!
Yes, exactly. Starts off as the slow golf clap and builds, or you listen to those announcements like at the video game stuff, and we announced blah blah on for $500. Yay! Clap, clap, clap. Yeah. Like five people. You're like, oh, the pity clap. Oh, that's awesome.
You're right.
Yes, there is that for sure.
And the video goes on to talk about how likes and favorites and retweets could be considered a sort of digital method of clapping, but it's a little different because whereas a clap can't be traced specifically back to you unless somebody's looking at you, you know, so it's a pretty anonymous thing, a like or a retweet or what have you is that same way of patting the performer on the back or what have you, but you may be one of 8 million likes, so in that sense, you're part of the crowd. But in another sense, somebody can look and say, oh, you retweeted this. So, you know, this is how you feel. In any case, definitely an interesting video to check out.
It's a lengthy video. It's almost a documentary.
it's quite long,
actually.
You say it's anonymous, but, you know, at Apple events, they always line it with, like, the first three rows of Apple employees, so they get all the clapping up front, and that will start people clapping in the back, you know. We announced Ping! Yeah, Ping! Yeah!
What's funny about that is that the video does talk about that sort of practice, where in previous centuries, they would have people going to the opera or the symphony or whatever, and they would listen to it first, you know, say during a rehearsal or something, and then they would know to clap or cry or laugh or whatever at the appropriate times. And it was almost a way to train the audience. Oh, this is where I'm supposed to clap. Oh, this is where I should laugh. Okay, thanks.
I read one time that when you go to an opera and they have subtitles, which is done quite frequently now on a screen, either in front of you or in the front of the room, they actually have people live typing because very often native speakers might change the dialogue a little bit or something, you know, ad lib, and they don't want you to clap or respond inappropriately at the wrong time. So they actually will do that live, those subtitles.
Oh, wow.
Funny you say that, because I've listened to interviews with people like, you know, King Crimson and others who say, when playing in Europe, it's a whole nother way because people wait until the song is over. You don't get that spontaneous clap that you usually do in the United States, where I don't know the band well enough, so I'm waiting until someone sings and then I can clap that I recognize the song. So it's, you know, 5 minutes of a song intro that you already know. Oh, they're going to play so-and-so. They have to wait until they hear that familiar chorus line.
Radio riff or whatever.
Yeah, and then there's, that's so good. And it's hysterical. But I remember watching the Olympics in, you know, foreign countries and the American commentators having to say, they're not whistling as in booze. Whistling is a form of applause in X country as opposed to clapping. And so, you know, various countries have different kind of ways of expressing amazement or congratulations and things like that. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's really interesting because in other countries, it's a little different than what we might do in the U.S.
Well, talking about watching videos, Joe, I'd kind of like to watch a video of a knee surgery. Wouldn't you?
Wouldn't
that just be awesome?
Sure.
No.
That's always been a dream of mine.
No, I'll be honest. No, but I mean, I like it that it's on Google Glass and that you can see the perspective of the doctor, but I I have no interest in medical stuff whatsoever. Other than this is super cool.
Tap, tap, tap.
That would be interesting.
Here's where
we slice the cartilage.
There's an audio equivalent of emery boards. I think I found one.
No.
I'm not into horror movies or anything like that. I think it's interesting, and I think it's a great training tool. To be able to attend a surgery from the doctor's perspective probably would make medical students really thrilled to be able to see how they approach things and do things. And I don't think it's a pay-per-view that I will be participating in, but no. I think it's really interesting. And it shows the power of Google Glass. I know people don't understand about wearables. I know some people are like, you know, I got LASIK surgery so I could wear not have to wear contacts or anything. And I'm not going to spend all that money and then put glasses on my face for Google or anybody. And a lot of sighted people, there was an article we tweeted from that Android show about a spouse who found Google Glass distracting because she kept fixating on the camera. Even though it wasn't active, she just sort of noticed that it was sort of there. And, you know, that's an aspect of Apple we didn't even talk about, is that Apple's awareness. That's another thing about the 64-bit chip, is that it can always be listening or paying attention to what you do, just like the Moto X.
I was going to say the Android phones
X does that. So, I mean, these devices are going to be perceptive. These devices are going to be kind of always on with the Internet of Things. We talk a little bit about that, by the way, also in High Contrast. Yep, even more iOS coverage to be coming with Byron and Rodney and myself. And there's still a theory that Apple's going to do something like Google Gold Glass or a watch or something like that. I just think it's interesting, though, because the wearable is starting to come up, and whether it be the way that Apple's going to probably do it or the way that Google's going to start doing it, just the way that we approach technology and what is visible is going to be completely different now. You know, there's things that are going to be captured because one of these devices is either being worn or somebody whips out their cell phone and starts taking pictures.
I say pretty Bluetooth earrings aren't too far away now.
It's possible. Disney released the Magic, which is a speaker in your ear. It's an earring. Samantha in her ear.
That made me shudder in a way that the knee surgery just didn't.
I found her audio equivalent of emery board right there. Well, next week we'll drag in Patrick, and he can talk about how much he loves iOS 7. And
That would be good, actually. We'll do that.
Get another perspective.
Okay.
Just about everybody on staff will have to give their opinion of iOS 7.
Yeah.
It's going to be an edict. Let me get on that memo right now. Jamie, why don't you tell the people how they can find us?
Resources at serotalk.com. Leave an iReport on iBlink Radio or your Android device. Go to serotalk.com. Check out the show notes. Leave a blog comment. Subscribe on iTunes. Just lots of different ways. You can find us on Instacast and, oh my goodness, Downcast, all kinds of places. So check us out. Until next time, have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com. Send us an iReport with iBlink Radio, available in the Apple App Store and the Android market. Or leave a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB. That's 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us next week as we explore all that life and the Internet have to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.